Chapter 5. Things were pretty morose around my house. It was one of those bad breakfast scenes. Something wasn't going right for my old man. "What is it, Dad?" I asked. I thought I was going to get a new job with the regional authority, but it fell through. They still won't touch me. They only want to hire people who will tell them what they want to hear. "You don't want to work for those idiots anyway," my mother consoled him. "The stupid dump and the incinerator, it was part of our everyday life. I couldn't get away from it." "You're too good for them," I said. He shook his head and stared into a spoonful of cornflakes like he was looking for an answer. Man, he looked pretty bummed out. "It's not just the work. There's something else going on. They wouldn't tell me what. Heck, they wanted me out of there. It was stupid of me to think they'd hire me to do anything. They want consultants who are only going to tell them what they want to hear." "What do they want to hear?" I asked. "That they're heroes, I suppose, for putting in an incinerator." "It might get worse. What are you talking about?" my mom asked, pouring my father another cup of coffee. He just shook his head. The wind came up at about 11. I rang Marina, and she said she could get away. This would be a first for a lot of things for me. The first date I ever had where I'd meet the girl on my sailboard. And the first date I ever had with a girl at a dump. But this was one extraordinary girl. I rigged the sail, eased off from land, and tacked way over to the western shore before heading north and east to meet Marina at the halfway point where we had met before, the little stream that ran into the harbor. She was already there with her board beached when I arrived. I had on my flashy pink and turquoise wetsuit. "You look good," she said. "Thanks, so do you." I wanted to say more. I wanted to tell her that her hair looked like a beautiful red fire and that she had a smile that could light up a city, but I knew better than to move too fast. "We need to know what we're up against," Marina said. "Let's check out the stream." We could both smell the stench of something from the water, but today it didn't really look polluted. Marina had on a little red backpack and pulled out a couple of empty pop bottles. "We'll need a few samples." "Hey, you sound like a professional." "I don't exactly know what I'm doing, but I know that if we want to do any good, we have to get the facts." So we hiked up Bedford Brook to where it stopped in a little marshy pond. The high wall of dirt that acted as the outer barrier of the ash dump was just beyond it. Marina cupped her hands in the water and rubbed her fingers together. "Feel this," she said, "sort of slimy. Look, if you put your head down low to the water so that it catches the light on the surface, you can see a thin film of something." Marina saw it too. She pulled out a bottle and took a sample of the water near the surface. The water had the same foul odor as before, only stronger. "I guess I knew it was like this all along," I admitted to her. "I've been here 100 times before. Sometimes it's just the stuff rotting in the marsh, though, that makes a film in the water like this. Swamp gas and stuff. Maybe, maybe not." We were both looking around at the little pond, looking for signs of something wrong. Our eyes both fixed on it at the same time, floating in a little pool between two big boulders where some birds, whatever kind they were dead. Marina ran over to the spot. I followed behind her. "Mergansers," I said. I was a big fan of these magical duck-like birds with the red tuft on the back of their heads. "Here, still on the surface of the water, were a parent merganser and 3 little ones, maybe 2 months old." Marina immediately picked up one of the young ones. She looked it over carefully, almost clinically, but no bullets, no teeth marks. Something killed them, and it wasn't another animal. I picked up the parent. Despite its lifeless appearance, it was still a beautiful bird. We had found what Marina was looking for, evidence. But I didn't think it could do any good. If we took the next step, we would be getting in deep, probably over our heads. I knew people wouldn't care enough about a couple of dead birds to want to make any real changes. But I had no choice. Marina put the three dead young mergansers into her pack, and I carried the big one. We circled around to the foot of the dirt barrier and looked for some obvious place where it was leaking something out. I couldn't see anything obvious. Maybe it comes up from the groundwater underneath after it's leaked out of the landfill, I said. I was kind of hoping that Marina wasn't going to do this, but she did it anyway. She sprinted to the top of the landfill wall. I followed as best as I could. On the other side of the mound was the pit where the ash from the incinerator was dumped. A guy in a big bulldozer was pushing some dirt over top of it. Hundreds of gulls swarmed and shrieked overhead. For a minute, I was sure that Marina was going to scream out something at the guy on the bulldozer. Instead, she sat down and held one of the young birds up to her face. "I'm sorry," she said to it. "I'm sorry we did this to you." I sat beside her and understood exactly what she was feeling. But I knew at that moment that I was stronger, the stronger one, the more logical one. I didn't want us to go down to the landfill office with the dead birds and yell and scream at the bastards like crazy kids. We take these birds someplace to be studied. We make their sacrifice worthwhile, I said. "You mean like some government lab or something? I don't trust the government. They approved this godforsaken thing. Even though my old man fought it, they wouldn't listen." "Then you're saying there's nothing we can do?" I saw the look on her face. The truth was that I didn't think anything would make a difference. I'd seen my old man go down the tubes trying to prove that the dump and the incinerator were wrong. Why bother? But I suddenly heard myself talking like him, like my father before he gave up. I knew what we would have done. We're going to have to put up our own money and pay some independent lab to do it. "I've got $50, she said. "I've only got 30. Together, that should do it." On the way back to our boards, I couldn't help but wish things were different. I really didn't want to get into some impossible battle. I wasn't the type to get involved in a cause. All I wanted was a chance to fall in love with this girl and for her to fall in love with me. I'd been so long without a girlfriend that I ached real bad inside, and I really didn't want to fight what I knew would be a losing battle. "I have to warn you," I told Marina. "I come from a long line of losers." I was thinking about my old man, and I was remembering my grandfather who'd lost his farm to a highway that got put through his land and then ended up so messed up that he drank himself to death. "Funny you say that, because that's how I feel sometimes," Marina said. "That's why we'll work well together, though. A couple of losers know so much defeat that they'll do just about anything to win for once." I smiled. "No," I laughed. I couldn't believe I was laughing under the circumstances, but I was. "You're good for me, you know that," I told her. "I know," she said. "I'm very good for you."